have the handouts before or during class, and the other half said you didn't want them until after class. So what I'm going to do today is pass them around now, and those who don't want to look at them till after class, you just turn them over and don't look at them. Because the class will be on PowerPoint. Now next week, it will be passed out early, and we will not have a PowerPoint, and I'll explain that why in a minute when we get to the end of today's class. So as that's going around, go ahead and get a copy. But if you don't want to look at it, just flip it over and don't look at it. There you go. See? Temptation will be there, but I know you can handle it. And something may be said, you say, what did he say? And then you flip it back and you can look at it. So, anyway. What'd I say? What's he talking about? And I'll wait just a minute in case some of these last people on this end want to look at it. So if we're wanting to learn how to pray and pray properly and the best way we can, who's the best person to go to? Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The prayers of Jesus. Now, we've talked about a few of them kind of briefly, but today we're going to look at some of the others and some more in fuller and more detail. This is sort of subliminal. That's burnt orange and navy blue. But that's sort of a subliminal message there. So according to Steve Shirley, the Bible records Jesus praying 25 different times during his earthly ministry. Jesus was continually in a prayer mode. He is shown to pray alone, in public, before meals, before important decisions, before healing, after healing, to do the Father's will, and some others. He also taught on the importance of prayer, including the disciples' prayer in Luke and Matthew. If we take all the places that show Jesus praying, you will have a perfect outline of how to pray. So today we want to analyze two prayers. The one that Jesus stated to the apostles when they asked him to teach them to pray, what we called a couple weeks ago the disciples' prayer. And also what we're going to call today the true Lord's Prayer that is found in John 17. The disciples or models prayer we talked about 3 weeks ago. And this is the prayer that Jesus taught to his disciples. Our approach then was to see what our prayer should contain. But our approach today will be to analyze what is behind each of the elements of the prayer. So the first element of the prayer, of this prayer, is God should be honored. He is our Father in heaven. He is our all-knowing Father. He knows what we need before we even ask. The very fact that we ask shows our dependence upon Him. And we talked about that some the very first week. The second element, our prayer should reflect spiritual growth. We must grow from being too selfish and self-centered to being more and more other people-centered. When our prayers are full of give me, I need, and help me, etc., it should tell us something. But when our prayers are more centered on others, their needs, their welfare, and etc., then we can see that we are growing. The third element, our prayers can also reflect our growth in faith. Kind of touches on what Todd talked about this morning. The Bible speaks about a person being full of faith in Acts 6:5, but also talks about the close disciples of Jesus who believed in him were being rebuked for their little faith or lack of faith. A person can believe, but that belief may not be strong enough to weather the storms of life that a person has to deal with. So it is important that our faith grows stronger and stronger. Jesus challenged his disciples to grow in their faith by different unique expressions. We find those in Matthew 17 and Matthew 21. And Jesus pointed out some people who showed greater faith than the average person who claims to believe in Matthew 8 and Matthew 15. Any questions so far? So let's look at the three prayers of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane found in John 17. And if you have your Bibles in either paper or electronic form, go ahead and turn to John 17, and we'll be reading some from there in a minute. While Jesus was nearing the end of his earthly life and was struggling with what lay ahead of him, he showed his concern for his close disciples and those who would become his disciples through the years ahead. Jesus is often found in prayer in the New Testament. He is in prayer at his baptism when the Holy Spirit came upon him. He was in prayer when he was transfigured before his disciples. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. He prayed to bless the little children. And he prayed that Peter's faith might not fail. We also often read of our Lord's private prayers which are not recorded for us to read and to reflect upon. And I've given you scriptures on those in your handout. One thing I do want to just kind of throw out here, if you've been in my classes a lot, you know I always like to give you a little bit more than what you paid for. Let me ask you a question before we move on. Other than Job, has Satan ever asked God for permission to tempt someone? A little trivia question for you. Other than Job, has Satan ever asked God for permission to tempt someone? Keep your finger on John 17 and turn over to Luke 22. Luke 22. What's going on here is the disciples are kind of disputing or arguing amongst themselves who is considered the greatest. What does verse, someone read verse 31. 31. Luke 22.
Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat.
All right. And then, of course, 32 on, Jesus is saying, he's prayed for Simon to keep his faith. So what is happening? What is going on in verse 31? Does anyone have the Amplified version? Amplified version says Satan has demanded permission to sift all of you like grain. And English Standard says Satan demanded to have you. That's the terminology it uses. So here is where Satan is asking God for permission to tempt Simon Peter, right? Is that what's going on? I think so. Anyway, I won't charge you.
The Amplified says, Simon, Simon, Peter, listen, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like grain.
Right. And then he goes on and actually Peter denies Christ three times is what actually goes on later. But, of course, then we know he repents and comes back to Jesus. So I interpret that as another time besides Job that Satan asks God for permission to tempt someone or try to tempt them. All right, I'm not going to charge you for that. Continuing on. There were times, however, when Jesus prayed for the benefit of those who were intended to overhear him. Jesus publicly blessed the portion of food available before feeding the 5,000. No doubt this was to make it clear that God the Father was equally at work in the miracle. In John 11, Jesus also prayed for the benefit of those who would witness the raising of Lazarus. Where have we heard that before? It does not appear that Jesus wanted his disciples to hear his prayers in Gethsemane since he told them to stay behind. But apparently the prayer of our Lord in John 17 is one that Jesus wanted his disciples to hear. By the way, it is the longest recorded prayer of our Lord in the New Testament and is only found here in the book of John. There are three sections to the prayer. The first one is Jesus prayed for God to be glorified. Someone read verses 1 through 5 of John 17.
Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who have given him. Now that you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began.
Okay, so verses 1 through 5 lays a foundation for the entire prayer. While they focus on our Lord's relationship with his Father, they also have a lot to say concerning our relationship with the Father. Our Lord's intimacy with the Father is not only reflected in his prayer to the Father, but should greatly influence our prayers to the Father as well. The second section is Jesus' prayer for his disciples, verses 6 through 19. Someone read that for us, please. John 17, 6 through 19. You can do it. Okay, thanks, Teresa. So what is he praying for? He's praying for their safety and steadfastness, and that the Father would keep them from the evil one. And is he praying for no struggles? No. His prayer was not for them to have any struggles, but that they would hold fast to the truth that both sanctifies them and keeps them close to God. Jesus' example in this prayer shows clearly the closeness he had with his Father. So then the final and third section of this prayer is...
It also talks of unity.
Yes.
Among them.
Yes. Not that they would agree with each other all the time, but they would be unified. Correct. So the third section is Jesus' prayer for us. That's verses 20 through 26. Someone read that for us, please.
My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they might be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though this world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them.
Okay, again, what is he praying for here? He's praying for the unity and oneness of these believers. He's talking to us. So we would, he's basically saying the same thing to us. He wants us to be unified and one as believers. Does this mean we will always agree with each other? Shake your head no. No, it.
Hey, question. You, a few weeks ago, you talked about the different answers to prayers.
Correct.
Yes, no, later. That's right. How would you think God answered this prayer?
I'm trying.
Yeah.
They just keep going all different directions.
Maybe yes, but later. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I mean, if he said yes and there's not unity, then they're not the church.
Correct.
If he said no, then we could have a pretty big church
with no unity. But no unity, yeah. Yeah.
If he said later, I guess we just have to see what happens.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question. And again, just like the disciples, does this mean that we will always agree? Again, no. He wants us to be able to enjoy that heavenly relationship with the Father that he had before the creation of the world. Any other questions or comments about the Jesus' prayer in John 17? Okay, now it's time for class participation. I actually have got some discussion questions that rely on y'all's feedback. So if you want to look, if you haven't looked at your handout, you can go ahead and flip it over. It's on page 3. But before we do that, if everybody will look at page 3, two of you have a flag on the bottom. Anybody see that? Who has the flag? Okay. Who has the flag that says Made in America?
On page 3?
Yep. Bottom of page 3. You going to write it in?
No.
Should be a U.S. flag with Made in America written on it.
It says the very bottom?
Yeah. You got it?
Not yet.
It should have been like number 5 that went around. All right.
I got it. That was not red. I really don't want another plastic cup.
Hey, man, I broke one today, so I'll take one.
All right, who has the flag that says proud to be American?
Oh, that's what I had.
All right, who has made in America? Nobody wants to claim it. Okay, we'll see that one again. All right, let's go to our discussion questions. We have many examples of Jesus praying alone, Matthew, Mark, Luke, several times. On the mountain feeding the 5,000 we talked about earlier in the Garden of Gethsemane before betrayed by Jesus. First question, what reasons can be suggested why Jesus found places away from people to pray? Yes, sir.
Well, one reason is for him not to be a hypocrite, because when he instructed his disciples on how to pray, he told them to pray twice.
Right.
So
not like the hypocrites are doing it.
If he's not doing what he told them to do, that would be hypocritical.
Okay, that could be one reason. Is there another or more?
Another time when you try to do that because you're not distracted.
Correct.
You can direct all of your focus to God, is where we're directing our prayers to. So it gives us that opportunity that we can commune directly with God and stay with all our partners with no distractions.
He talks about going in our closet sometimes. Yes. That would be a way of getting away. Anything else, David?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny because when there's a table of just men and just women, we know there's different conversations. A conversation between me and God is going to be different than a conversation between you and God, or a conversation between us and God, a public prayer.
Right.
We're going to say different things, and I think they're all prayers that need to be said
at different times.
I have some things that I need to commune with God on that are my own thing. And I'm
right.
saying that Zach may not say the same thing sometimes, but this is something I need to share with God privately.
And right.
I think there's an appropriate conversation level at any particular level that can happen. And in particular, I'm thinking of our Tuesday morning. It's funny because I know before the ladies came in, it's been a whole different dynamic with the ladies joining us on Tuesday mornings than it was with just the men. And I think it was Teresa and I were talking the other day, and she says, you know, there are conversations that happen in the ladies thing when they meet that don't happen in the group. So, you know, there's different conversations
yeah.
that are appropriate, that are needed, but that there's, you know, there are appropriate settings for them.
Anybody else? Jim?
I think there's probably things that Christ was going to talk to the Father about that would have been very confusing to the disciples.
Right.
For example, what we just read, when I was in your glory before the world, these guys are going to be like, what is he talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
It could have been a little confusing.
Yeah, could have been. Wayne?
I think, too, it's a more humble way to commune with God. Sometimes when we say a prayer publicly, we try to get all the right words. I think when you're alone with God, you can be more yourself.
Right.
Pray more honestly. And I think that's probably, a lot of times it's for, I won't say for show, but it almost, we feel like we've got to almost sometimes write it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you did a big prayer like in front of a big auditorium audience or something, you might even write it down.
Yeah.
So I think it's a more humble way for us to pray.
Yep. Anything else?
I think possibly maybe, you know, when he didn't want his disciples maybe to see his weakness.
Yeah. Yeah.
He
could let it all out, so to speak. Yeah.
But he wanted to be strong for his followers.
Right.
You know, he had moments of doubt and weakness, too.
The line, that if I will be done, let this cup pass from me, that was said in
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think all of you are correct. It could be in any, you know, there's several different reasons we want to go in private, so to speak, and get away from the crowd and pray. So those are all good. Number two, should Jesus praying the same prayer three times in the Garden of Gethsemane before being betrayed by Judas be considered vain repetition?
No, that's the widow going to the what's his name? Repeatedly is what it is, not vain repetition.
That is a good example of a prayer that God said no to.
It is, yeah. So you wouldn't consider that vain repetition? I don't think so. No. I agree with you. That was not. And if you remember when we talked about vain repetition several weeks ago, we talked about some of the meanings of the word. New American Standard says, do not use meaningless repetition. English Standard says, do not heap up empty phrases. And NIV says babbling, uses the word babbling. So if we're honest and we're sincere, and that's what we've talked about a lot in different weeks, if our attitude, and we're actually going to talk more about attitude in a few more weeks, if our attitude is correct, even though we're saying basically the same prayer over and over, I would not consider that vain repetition. The vain repetition is when we just say a prayer that we've memorized and we just say it over and over and over, and it really, we say it more than out of habit more than, you know, our attitude and deep thought. Then what?
God is good. God
yeah, yeah. yeah. Number three, was Jesus selfish in praying for this cup to pass from me? Was Jesus being selfish? I see one nod, no nod.
To me, for question three, that gives me the ability to live every day, knowing that my Savior understands the human way.
Right, the human side of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
mean, that's a gives you a wonderful example of understanding the human of Jesus. And if that wasn't there, then it's really hard to relate.
Yeah.
And actually really hard to really grow in your faith.
Yeah.
I think too, a lot of times we think God can do anything.
Right.
But this is a good situation where God had a plan, and he couldn't figure, there was no other way. That was the way God wanted it to happen.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we feel like if we pray hard enough, maybe God will change his plan or what, or the destiny that he had intended for us.
Right.
That just may not be possible.
Yeah. And Bob, what?
In the fact that he could have ended this prayer.
Yeah.
Because of how much he loves us.
Right. And not, even though Jesus, technically we could say he was being selfish for himself because he didn't really want to have to go through it. But when God said no, Jesus did, okay, that's the way it's going to be and that's the way we're going to do it. So, Bernard.
I look at it from this perspective of, I think it was Paul said, it's better for me to leave, better for me to be with God than stay here. And at this time, he could have been saying, let's prolong this a little longer.
Yeah.
I could be here with my followers to help teach them and guide them.
Yeah.
But we understand, you know, it's God's will for him to do it. So at that time, he had to do it.
Right.
And thinking about the question of when you say selfish, that's a complex word.
It is.
Not everything that you do selfishly is bad.
Right.
There's instances that it is, but this shows you a good example of someone expressing their desires, which are kind of selfish, but then also laying it before God, saying, but if your will is here, I'll accept it.
Right.
So it allows you to understand, well, how far can I take my selfishness in life and not at the
right.
same time.
Right. Jim?
He
does want to hear it. He wants us to be honest with him and open with him. Jim?
Did Jesus not know what the answer was going to be?
I think he did.
Because we just got through reading that mm-hmm. he was with the Father before the earth.
Right.
That plan was in existence.
Right.
He had to have known.
Right.
So I think that is for our benefit more than his.
Right.
I don't think he was looking necessarily... I think he was looking for some way out of the pain.
Right.
He was still
because he knew what he was fixing to go through.
I think it was the pain of what he was trying to overcome.
Yeah.
If there's another way. Well,
whether separate.
Jesus in the flesh.
Yeah. This is Lynn's opinion. He didn't want to go through the separation from God. That's what he didn't want to go through. I mean, you know, if we need surgery on our big toe, we know that's going to hurt for a while, but hopefully our big toe will feel better in the end. Todd.
So, I mean, in Luke's version, and I don't know which you read this earlier, it says he withdrew about a stone's throw from beyond them after he told his apostles not to fall into temptation. He knelt down and prayed, Father, if you're willing to take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done. And then it says an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him.
Right.
And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly.
Right.
So I have to take it that he was struggling.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And something we all go through from time to time, if we're honest with ourselves.
That's why we're a good thing we don't know the future.
Exactly. We'd be scared to death, wouldn't we? All right. So Jesus prayed in public before the raising of Lazarus and after entering Jerusalem. And he prayed out loud before meals. Number four, how do you feel about praying out loud in public restaurant? How do you feel about praying out loud in a public restaurant?
I think if you're okay with talking to a person in a public restaurant, why not be able to talk to God in public?
Okay, Leroy?
Well, if the restaurant is really, really noisy, we say our prayers individually, but if it's a restaurant, no matter if anybody is here, it's we do it. Really noisy and all.
It's kind of distracting. Yeah, can be.
Oh, by the way, I
Oh, okay. David?
I sometimes wonder if a public prayer like that is kind of twofold. Number one, it's us talking to God, but there's also a mission work to that, just like we see Jesus' mission work as he's praying with his disciples or praying on the before the feeding of the 5,000.
Because other people see you. Yeah,
because yeah, we've actually prayed here in Olive Garden, I think it was once that couple came over and said, thank you for praying before the meal. That was years ago.
Oh, yeah, with their children.
Yeah. They said, thank you for praying before the meal. That was very encouraging. And but, you know, it was our prayer with God, thanking for the meal, but also God being visible to someone else.
Yeah, they seeing what you're doing.
We had the same thing happen to you, James.
Yes, sir.
It's also a demonstration of our faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I don't think God will ever be displeased with us showing an earnest demonstration of our faith in him.
The key word is earnest. That's one of the key words. Wayne?
I wish Felicia was here. She could tell this story better. But she has a niece in town, and her boyfriend, they had some friends. They were all together. They were down in some restaurant. I think it was a crab trap. But anyway, they were down there, and they were sitting all at the table together. And one of them said, you know, before they ate, this is a blessing. So they all bowed their heads and prayed at the table there. Well, later on, some of the waitress walked over to him and said, hey, somebody saw y'all praying and paid for your whole meal.
Oh, really?
Everybody at the table.
Oh, wow.
Their meal for y'all.
I'm going to stand up.
Jim?
Yeah.
Jim?
That issue as to how we would feel about that. How would we feel if there was a table full of Muslims
mm-hmm.
saying their prayer? How mm-hmm. would we feel about that?
Probably offended.
I'm glad they pray.
I'd be glad.
Would you buy their dinner?
Could this be an example of kind of showing, like the hypocrites were doing, they were praying to be seen.
I think if you did it for that reason, it wouldn't be right.
It's what's in the heart.
Yeah.
It's what God knows what's in the heart.
Let me give an example of an incident I had one time. I was down visiting my parents, and we were in Bay Minette, Alabama. Does anybody know where Bay Minette, Alabama is? We was eating at a buffet. It wasn't a Golden Corral, but it's that type of restaurant, a mom and pop buffet. And we were sitting at, it was me and my parents and my uncle and aunt, and there was a whole table of us. To the table next to us, there was a group, about six or eight folks. And the guy stood up and said a prayer in very loud, audible tone so that everybody in that section of the restaurant heard him. How would you feel about that if you've never seen that before? Why not?
I wouldn't judge it.
I'm not judging. He's probably.
If I had negative in my mind, I would try to pray for myself.
Yeah. He's probably a Baptist preacher or something. I don't know.
If I forgot to say the blessing, I'd be glad he blessed my people, maybe too.
Well, he may not have been blessing him. Go ahead.
If he was doing it for the sake of everyone there, okay, I would not be upset.
Right.
If he was doing it just for the sake of just trying to show off, okay, then I know that was wrong.
Right. And I don't know his attitude. I never knew the guy, didn't know the guy, never seen him before. Wouldn't know him if he walked in the room. But I was kind of nervous about it, to be honest with you. But I don't know his attitude. So, Leroy?
We all have to examine our own motives.
Exactly. Right, right. Okay. When hanging on the cross, Jesus said, three short prayers. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Number five, does the shortness of these prayers impress you? If so, how? And if not, why not? David?
Actually, I would like to back up if it's okay.
Okay.
We're talking about the Muslims.
Okay.
And I'll do a plug for the next quarter Wednesday night. We're doing the history of the church.
Yeah.
About 3,000 years worth of the history of the church. And anyway, one of the people that I'm doing research through is Patrick Mead. Some of you may know his name. And he is reaching out in the Nashville area. They have a mission now where they're actually reaching out to the Muslim community and working with the Muslim community. And he says, it's amazing because now we have 20 to 30 Muslims in our Sunday morning service going to our Bible classes because they love being there. They love the love of Jesus. They love the love of the family. The kids love the Bible classes and the feeling how they feel going to it. And suddenly we think, okay, God does love some of those Muslims that are out there. You know?
The way you said that sounds funny.
It does sound funny, but interestingly enough, God loves the Jews. Even though they were still practicing Jewish traditions, they were Christians.
Yeah.
And there's more, I think there's a lot more to it than our mind can conceive of.
They were his chosen ones for a while.
We'll be seeing some of his talking next quarter.
Okay.
Wednesday night class, if the elders don't fire me before I get there.
So does the... He's taking notes. So does the shortness of prayers impress you? Short and to the point, isn't it? Is that an example for us sometimes?
Because we should pray specific prayers because
they
create situations in our lives. That's all you want to talk about. You focusing on that. Why not?
And if it only takes six words, if it takes 160, whatever.
Exactly.
So on the other hand, before choosing the 12 apostles, he prayed all night. Now, what is significant about Jesus praying all night?
He was praying for a lot of folks.
Not just himself, was he? So there we have the contrast. We have short prayers and then we have praying all night. What's the advantage of praying all night versus the short prayers? It is. And different needs and wants and requests and all the above.
It is not a set of words that have to be said in a certain particular order. It is a true conversation. If we came in here every day and you said the exact same words week after week in this class,
nobody'd
keep order, it would
people
really
would
be
stop coming. It'd be easier for me because I just use the same notes.
If you think about it, a lot of times we say our prayer quietly. We just think our prayer.
Yeah.
So if God hears that, he hears our thoughts all the time. So every thought we have is a communication to God. Essentially. He knows our thoughts.
He knows our thoughts, but
so we're communicating constantly with God when we're thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, different needs, different things you need to express. Leroy?
I was going to say, it shows the diversity of Jesus.
Yeah.
He got sprint prayers, he got marathon prayers.
Right.
Just getting done what he needs to do.
Right. And it's like conversations with our people here. I may go up to David and say, ask him a quick question, how about such and such? And he says, okay, we'll do that. Or then I have to go to Todd, and Todd wants to know all the facts, so I have to lay out all the facts for Todd. Right? I know. Leroy?
What I hate though, when we get together as a family during Thanksgiving and Christmas and we have somebody to work in prayer, we know the ones we don't want to ask.
Yeah.
Food and everything. So we got to choose.
Time and a place. Jim?
I think it's like a lot of things. We're shown in the Bible is they're examples for us. Everything doesn't have to be an all-night prayer.
Mm-mm.
We can do things quickly.
Mm-hmm.
or we can spend more time.
Mm-hmm.
They're just examples for us.
And that was part of Jesus' purpose on earth, was to show us the whole gambit of the examples. So, David, you raise your hand, or you just scratching? Layman. Okay. All right. And along the same lines, number 7, when would it be wise to spend a lot of time in prayer? I think that, again, we've kind of touched on when there's a lot to talk to God about, whatever that is, or thank Him for different things. So to wrap this up today, what better way to study about prayer than to study the prayers of Jesus? There should be no doubt that Jesus' life, words, and activities can serve well as an example for us. On the back of page 4 is scripture showing all 25 prayers that's supposedly Jesus either said or that's alluded to. And I just gave you short synopsis of all of them, so you can go back and read those yourself. Any final questions on the prayers of Jesus? Oh, and if you find more, let me know. Those are the 25 I found on the internet. Next week is a subject that some of you have been asking about and waiting on, patiently waiting for, prayer and fasting. Now, some of you are going to say, does this mean there's another health class? No, that's Wayne's department. We're going to look at about 98.6% of the class will be on the advantages, spiritual benefits of fasting. We will touch just briefly on the physical advantages and benefits. But again, that's where I've asked Wayne to kind of fill in the gaps. Any questions, comments, otherwise? That was my second bell?
No.
Okay. All right, 13. According to a new study, what do you think is people's number one fear? What is people's number one fear?
Talking in front of a group.
Public speaking. What was number two?
Death.
So this means to the average person, if you go to a funeral, you're better off in the casket than doing the eulogy. Right? Yeah. Oh, well. Let's pray before we dismiss. Dear Lord, we seek your will and wisdom in all things. Please guide us and deliver us from evil. May we be the reason someone smiles this week, and may we serve you well. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.